Take your Bibles and turn to the 9th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 9. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Romans chapter 9. I want to entitle the message, All Eyes Upon Israel. Now that's a popular phrase. It's kind of cloaked in Jewish eschatology or last things regarding the natural nation of Israel. And there is a philosophy, there's a theology, there's an eschatology, a teaching in the Christian realm concerning natural Israel that's part of a theory concerning end times or prophecy of the future. Most of you know that I'm preparing once again to go through the book of Revelation. This will be my third time to teach through the book of Revelation. And as I made those preparations, it's very obvious to me that there's a lot of terminology and geography that's embedded in the book of Revelation that corresponds with Israel. There's the 12 tribes of Israel in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation that are singled out and identified as the 144,000. There's the Mount Zion in the 14th chapter. There's the New Jerusalem. There's the temple. There's Sodom. There's Egypt, Babylon, Gog, Magog, and of course, Armageddon. There's a lot of references to the Jews and a lot of references to the natural nation of Israel in the book of Revelations. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 9, when Jesus was specifically addressing the church at Philadelphia, he said that there was a synagogue, and we know a synagogue identifies a place of worship for the Jews. He called it the synagogue of Satan. And he says, there are people that are saying that they're Jews, but they're lying. Let me read it for you. He says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, that they will know that I love you. Now, he was talking to a church, and he said the nation of Israel would fall down before the church and acknowledge that God, or Christ, loves them. The church. When you put Israel on the prophetical stage, you will misinterpret, if you put natural Israel on the prophetical stage, you will misinterpret the entire book of Revelations. There are many passages that I guess I could read. I could read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 18, which talks about Israel according to the flesh. And if you're familiar with the New Testament, Israel proper, national Israel, is referred to as Israel according to the flesh, but the church of the true living God is referred to as Israel according to the Spirit. The true Israel. The Israel of God, as we read in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16, where Paul was writing with respect to the church, and he says, we are the church, both Jew and Gentile, we are the Israel of God. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16. In contrast to that, 1 Corinthians 10 and 18, where he talks about, behold, Israel after the flesh. I'll never forget when I met my first Orthodox Jew. His name was Harvey. He was a landlord of mine, and I had several conversations with him. One night, we invited him over for supper. I'll tell you a little story about Harvey. And we were going to introduce him to country cooking, southern-styled cooking. And he came, and Ange made some green beans and some other things. And he sat down, and man, he ate those green beans, and he said, these are great. And he ate another helping, and another helping. He said, I have never in my life tasted green beans that tasted like this. And he said, wow, these are great. Well, after he left, we figured out why that they were the best tasting green beans he'd ever tasted in his life. We put a bunch of bacon grease in it. He had never had any bacon grease before in his whole life. And he loved it. And it is a good seasoning, isn't it? But I remember I was talking to Harvey on one occasion. We were standing out in the driveway, and he was talking about his Levitical lineage and that he was of the tribe of Levi. And I looked him in the eye. I said, Harvey, I said, I'm a Jew. He said, you're a Jew? I said, yes, sir, I'm a Jew. He said, really? How is that? I said, I'm a Jew in Jesus Christ. I said, I received the circumcision of the heart. I said, I'm a Jew like what is talked about in the New Testament. It's not one who is a Jew outwardly, for circumcision is of the flesh with respect to a Jew who is one outwardly, but I'm a Jew which is of the spirit, which is inward, and circumcision is of the heart. Listen, everybody who has ever been saved by the grace of God experiences a spiritual severing from sin, which is symbolized in Jewish circumcision. Now let me read Romans chapter 9. I'm going to talk just a little bit about eschatology of the Jews and some of the terminology. I'd like to get into the geography of the book of Revelation. The great river of Euphrates is made reference to also in the book of Revelation. But let me begin in verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bears me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came. Who is over all, God bless forever, amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. Notice verse 6 closely. He basically is saying, look, don't confuse all the promises that were given to Israel. God has not failed concerning his promises toward Israel. All the promises, all the covenants that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel have not failed. The word of God is not of any effect because notice he says this. He says, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not. Everybody say not. 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 These are not the children of God. But the children of the promise. Do you realize what you just read? He said every promise that was made in the Old Testament regarding Israel is being fulfilled in spiritual Israel, not those according to the flesh, but those according to the Spirit. Not one single promise given to the people of Israel has failed because they were being fulfilled in Paul by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only Paul and the other Jews that were saved, but also in all the Gentiles that came to know the Lord and follow the Lord in baptism and also experienced that circumcision of the heart. Amen. Notice what he says. These that are just the seed of Abraham, they're not the children of God. Well, then who are the children of God? Who are the true Israelites if not all of Israel is of Israel? Who is it? This is that which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Jump over just briefly with me to another passage there in that same ninth chapter of Romans. Let's read verse 24. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he has said also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Well, last week you guys loved my top 10 list so well, I've comprised another one. My top 10 reasons why I do not believe there will be a restoration of the Jews. Number one, the clear teaching of the New Testament declares that all the Old Testament services to the law have been abolished. Do you guys realize that if the Jews are restored, if those promises of the Old Testament regarding the restoration of the Jews are to come to pass, then they also must reconstruct their temple. They must also re-engage in a priesthood. They also must offer up again animal sacrifices. Now I believe all of that is contrary to the New Testament. Reinstating and reestablishing the system of Moses and the law and the Old Testament is contrary to the preaching and the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We noticed Wednesday night where Paul stood and rebuked Peter because he started to divert back to that system. And Paul said it was wrong. It's wrong. Number nine, Jesus, Paul, and others taught that there would not be a new temple made with hands, that we would not worship in Jerusalem, but that we would worship in spirit and in truth. Number eight, I do not believe that a new priesthood needs to be established because we have a high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. He's after the order of Melchizedek, and he is a high priest of our profession. I don't believe it's number seven. I believe it'd be wrong to offer up animal sacrifices when the true sacrifice, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was offered on Golgotha's tree. Number six, if the Jews are to be saved and grafted back into the olive tree, they must be saved the same way the Gentiles are saved, by repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Number five, it would turn the gospel completely upside down. The whole system of the gospel would have to be altered and changed to divert back to the Jewish system. It would collapse the true system of salvation, which is wholly of grace. Listen, salvation by works has never worked. It's always been a system of grace. Even in the Old Testament, their inability to work their way into a relationship with God drove them to their knees in true repentance and trusting in the Messiah. And they too, in the Old Testament, were saved by grace. Number three. Go back to number four. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, they which are of the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Listen, you can't have it both ways. Either they're the children of God or we're the children of God. It can't be both ways. Either Israel, the natural nation of Israel, are the people of God, or we're the people of God. Which is it? It can't be both ways. The Bible says they are not the children of God, but we are the children of God. Hosea prophesied. Paul wrote, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise. They are counted as the seed. Seed has reference to the people of Israel, and we are the Israel of God. Number three, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, is one place. There are many other places. It is asserted throughout the New Testament. The petition, the wall of petition, has been torn down. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. It's been broken down. And according to the word of God, God has made the two one. Gentile believers and Jewish believers are in fellowship of the citizens and of the saints. They are of the household of God. They are built together, both Jew and Gentile, into a glorious temple unto the Lord. And number two, Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 through 29. The Bible says, as many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Number one, Galatians chapter 4, verse 29. The Apostle Paul asserts that the promises which are made are not made to Israel according to the flesh, which is symbolized in Ishmael, but the Israel according to the Spirit, Kata Fuma, rather than Kata Sarx. Kata Sarx is Israel according to the flesh. Israel according to the flesh, symbolized in Ishmael. And he said in Galatians chapter 4, cast out the child of the bondwoman. There is a child that is born free, and it's in Isaac shall my seed be called. Israel according to the Spirit. Those are 10 reasons why I do not believe natural Israel will be restored. You know why? Because there is a spiritual Israel. A spiritual Israel that is superior to natural Israel. An Israel that was established not by Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, but was established solely in Jesus Christ. Now, the Messiah is called David. The church throughout the New Testament is called Jerusalem and Zion. His people, both Jew and Gentile, are called Israel in the New Testament. Believers, those that have exercised faith in Jesus Christ, they are called, whether Jew or Gentile, they are called the seed of Abraham. They are called sons. They are called heirs of the promise. And they are believers in Jesus Christ, those who exercise faith, they are the true Israel, whether they're Jew or whether they're Gentile. Paul said the promises have not failed. I'm a Jew, but I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and all those promises that were given to Israel are being fulfilled in me. Paul said that, Romans chapter 9. All right. There are other passages. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, he said, whether you're Jew or Gentile, we are the circumcised. Spiritual circumcision, that which is of the heart. In Galatians 3 and 29, if you look there, he says, we are Abraham's seed, we're heirs according to the promise. We are Abraham's seed. We are, do you guys read, I mean, look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. We, do you feel that way? We are Abraham's seed. We are heirs according to all the promises. promises that have been given to that seed, all the promises that have been given to Israel, we are the heirs of. Now, let me pause here just for a moment, and let me say this. I can go through those prophetical passages, if I had time, through Isaiah, Zechariah, Hosea, various places of the Old Testament, variety of different promises that a lot of people say have not been fulfilled, and I can show you that they have been fulfilled and are being fulfilled in the church of the true and living God. Without hesitation or reservation, I can do that. I was going to go to the last few verses of the book of Isaiah, where it talks about all nations coming to Jerusalem every Sabbath and every month, new moons and so forth. And a lot of people believe that's going to be fulfilled during the millennium, that everybody's got to go to Jerusalem and worship on the new moons and all the Sabbaths. Is that possible? For all of us, all people from all nations to travel to Jerusalem every Sunday? But isn't that being fulfilled every Sunday morning? Aren't there people in every nation and have been in every nation throughout the time of the establishing of the church of the true living God? Haven't there been people devotedly and dedicatedly giving their lives to the truth of God and the worship of God every Sunday? Since the establishing of the church, it's being fulfilled. We're fulfilling that prophecy right here and now. It's all in how you look at it. The popularity of the nation of Israel in the scope of the biblical prophecy, here's the thing. This is how I feel about it. Satan has told so many lies, so many theological lies. People that in the theological realm have believed so many of the lies, they don't know the truth anymore. Now, this doesn't upset me. Actually, this doesn't bother me at all, okay? I'm actually glad that a lot of people don't see what I see. I really am. I mean, can you imagine if the whole world knew that we were the real Israel? Huh? You know what we would be in danger of? A suicide bomber, coming in here every Sunday morning to try to blow us up? We would be. So I'm kind of thankful that people are ignorant about this. I'm thankful to some degree. I think there's a purpose why people are blinded. I think one of the reasons that God has allowed this to happen, and God always allows things to happen, amen, according to his providence, one of the reasons he's allowed this to happen is to preserve his church. He has always orchestrated circumstances in the world to preserve his church, and he's been preserving his church, and that's one of the reasons so many people are confused, misled. That's why a lot of high-powered evangelists preach a restoration of Israel. Hey, the terrorists are after them because they think that they're the true Israel of God. Just think if all these terrorists realized that we were the true Israel of God. I'm kind of glad they don't know. Do you really believe that passage in Galatians where it says, we are Abraham's seed? We are Abraham's seed. We are the heirs according to the promise. Do you believe that passage? So when Paul says in the 9th chapter of Romans, they are not all of Israel that are of Israel, he was talking about natural Israel, and he was also talking about spiritual Israel. Now, we know that on the day of Pentecost, thousands of Jews got saved. Listen, a lot of people say, well, the Jews, they rejected the Messiah. Not the true Jews. The true Jews received him. They embraced him. They got saved on the day of Pentecost. And for years afterwards, for 3.5 years, on the continuation of the fulfillment of the covenant, of the keeping of the covenant, and confirming it with the Jews, there were hundreds of thousands of Jews that got saved. For 3.5 years, according to the prophecy of the 9th chapter of Daniel, the church at Jerusalem was comprised of only Jews. For 3.5 years, only Jews, until Peter went down to the house of Cornelius. So I'm okay with people being confused about the terminology.
I'm all right with the fact that they're stuck on the geography and they're ignorant of the genealogy. Let's rewind just for a few moments. Let's go back into the Old Testament. Let's look in Genesis chapter 32. 4,000 years ago, there was a man by the name of Abraham. He entered into a covenant with God. God said, through your seed, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul said, he didn't say seeds, plural. He said seed, singular, and that seed was Jesus. Abraham was told that there would be a great nation that would be structured upon the seed, the true seed, which is Jesus Christ. Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob. Jacob was a scoundrel. Jacob was a deceiver. Actually, the word Jacob means deceiver. He stole his brother's birthright. He stole Esau's birthright. He fled for his life. Esau even said when he stood before his father in the book of Genesis, he said, you named him right. He is a deceiver. Anyway, we know about Jacob. He was on his way home, and in the book of Genesis, chapter 32, we notice a situation that he had when he was on his way back. He was fearful for his life. He had been committing sin. He was a deceiver, and he was dealing with these issues of his life. He was going to be confronting Esau. He was disturbed about the circumstances and the situation of his life. And there he wrestled with a man, verse 24. And Jacob, verse 32 of Genesis, chapter 32, verse 24. And Jacob, we read, wrestled with a man until the break of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So Jacob was engaged in this spiritual warfare. He was engaged in a wrestling match. This was so physical that it threw his hip out of joint. All right? Notice what else it says. And he said, let me go for the daybreak. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. He said unto him, what is thy name? Now, it doesn't state that it was an angel in these particular passages. It's not until like the 11th chapter of Hosea that we read that it was an angel that he was wrestling with. But the angel said, what is your name? Now, as Jacob began to tell the angel his name, he was confessing who he was. Actually, his name describes his character. He was a deceiver. He was a sinner. Actually, I believe here Jacob was confessing his sins. What I want you to note is that the name of Israel is birthed in repentance. It's birthed in a spiritual warfare. It's birthed in a victory, a spiritual victory that a man obtains. Notice as we read in these passages, he said, what is your name? And he said, it's Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed. Notice, the word Israel, first used in the Bible, was given to a man who was engaged in a spiritual warfare and had a spiritual victory. All right, it's obvious to me that the word, the terminology, the word Israel is rooted in spiritual victory over circumstance, or more particularly, it's rooted in a spiritual victory over sin. Think about that. Spiritual victory over sin. What was the greatest spiritual warfare that ever took place on the face of the earth where there was victory over sin? Jesus. 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 Who is the Prince of God? Who is the Prince of Peace? He said, you prevailed. You prevailed. You've had victory in this warfare. Now you're the Prince of God. I tell you, Jesus Christ won a victory for us at Calvary. Yes, he did. It was a spiritual warfare. And I contend that every true Israelite must go through a spiritual warfare over his sins. There must be a spiritual consciousness of our sinfulness. There must be a repentance that goes on. There must be a trusting in God. Listen, if you've never gone through the struggle of conviction over sin, if you've never had that consciousness of your distance before God and your separateness from God and your lostness before God, if you've never seen your sins as God sees them and you've gone through that process of struggling with that, dealing with that, and finally reaching to Jesus for your salvation. If you've never experienced that in your life, you're not a true Israelite. Not only was there victory at Calvary, but there's victory in every life of every believer. All right, but anyway, we find in these passages, let's go forward just a little bit. Spiritual victory over sin was accomplished by Jesus. But Jacob became a spiritual Jew by wrestling with the angel and prevailed, became the Prince of God. He had 12 sons. They went down into Egyptian bondage. As a result of Joseph, there was a way prepared where they can be restored. Have you ever noticed the similarities between what happened to Jesus and what happened to Israel? Who's the type and who's the shadow? Who was pointing to who? Was Jesus pointing to Israel or was Israel pointing to Jesus? It's got to be one or the other. They went down into Egyptian bondage. And there while they were in Egyptian bondage, turn to Exodus chapter 4 just for a few moments. We know about God raising up Moses. And while they grew down there in Egyptian bondage, they became a great nation. And it was there while in Egyptian bondage that they were recognized as Israel. Now we've moved from a man being identified as Israel to a nation being identified as Israel. I want you to note just a few verses in the fourth chapter of Exodus, verse 22 and 23. Moses was sent down there to tell Pharaoh to let Israel go. Notice what he says. Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Notice here at this passage, disjuncture. There's an important development that's occurred here in the Bible. That name Israel is expanded. Now it not only identifies a man who struggled with the Lord, but it also identifies a nation that is redeemed from Egyptian bondage. Did the Jews get victory? Did they come out of Egyptian bondage? I'll tell you how they came out. They came out by blood. Amen? Yes. Through the Passover. By the blood of the Lamb, they were redeemed from Egyptian bondage. And after that redemption, they were referred to as the nation of Israel. As you go through the prophecy, Israel and their victories, there are additional names that are given to them. But I want you to pay attention to what he says here. My son. Who is the Son of God? Who is the firstborn? Who is the true Son of God? Who is the firstborn? Israel, in other places, is referred to as the vine of God. We notice in like Psalms 88, It says, but the Israel, thou art my servant, the seed of Abraham, Isaiah 41 and 8. Israel is called the elect of God. I want us to look at another passage, Hosea 11 and 1. It says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called him. Out of Egypt I called him. Israel came out of Egyptian bondage. But what about the son, the servant? Did he come out of Egyptian bondage? Is there a parallel? Is there a similarity? Hosea prophesied 800 years before the coming of the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. There in Matthew chapter 2, we read where the prophecy of Hosea is fulfilled. Fulfilled. Fulfilled in who? What I want you to note in this passage in Matthew chapter 2 is that those references, my son, vine, okay, seed of Abraham, I want you to note how all of those statements and all that terminology that's referenced with regard to natural Israel is turned in the New Testament toward the true Israel of God, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Hosea was talking about Israel being redeemed out of Egypt, and that this Israel was the true son, the true servant of God. Matthew, under divine inspiration by the Holy Ghost, he will say that Jesus Christ, he is the fulfillment of that. He is the true Israel of God, the Israel proper. Now, I know most of you need a bump on the head so you can see double vision, because I've been talking about two Israels the whole time, the Israel in the flesh and the Israel of the Spirit. The Israel in the flesh was started by Jacob and comprised of the people of Israel. The spiritual Israel was started by Jesus, okay, and is comprised of the church of Jesus Christ. We know the story in the second chapter of Matthew. The fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that are under the law. Mary and Joseph had the baby. Mary had the baby in Bethlehem, and Mary and Joseph were there. And an angel came to Joseph and warned him in a dream and said, "Look, you've got to flee because Herod's going to kill the babies in Jerusalem." And they were to go down into Egypt. And the Bible says this is the fulfillment of Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. The fulfillment of the true Israel of God. Let's look at it. Are you ready? This is just one of many. There's Matthew chapter 12. I don't know if I have time to get to that or not. All right. So they were told to go down into Egypt. Have you ever noticed, all this stuff, okay? Israel went into Egyptian bondage. Jesus fled with Mary and Joseph to Egypt till Herod died. Have you ever noticed that there at his baptism, he was called the Son of God, and yet Israel is called my son being delivered out of Egypt? Moses said, "Let my son go." And Jesus at his baptism was declared by the Heavenly Father, "This is my son. This is my son." Do you guys get this? "In whom I am well pleased." Israel came out of Egyptian bondage. They went through the Red Sea. Paul said in Corinthians that they were baptized in the Red Sea under Moses. Jesus was baptized of John the Baptist. Then he went into the wilderness for 40 days. Just like the people of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. Do you guys see how that step by step, Jesus Christ is following everything that happened in Israel? Or was Israel a type and a shadow of everything that would happen to the true Israel? Which is it? Can't be both ways. My belief is that the nation of Israel was pointing to Jesus, not Jesus pointing to Israel. Let's read this passage. Verse 15. He says, and was there... Okay, let me... Verse 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now keep in mind, this prophecy specifically was identifying Israel according to the flesh. In Hosea chapter 11 verse 1. But the fulfillment of that is found in Jesus Christ, who is the true, perfect Israel of God. Listen, Israel according to the flesh never accomplished the victory. Jesus according to the Spirit did accomplish the victory. Oh boy, this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is powerful, if you'll allow it to be. Matthew begins the New Testament naming Jesus as the victorious one. Jesus Christ, he is the true Prince of God. He is the true Israel. He is the perfect Israel. He is the Israel that did not fail. He is the one who gained the great spiritual victory at Calvary and resurrected on the third day and lives forevermore. Paul would say, everybody that's in Jesus, they are a Jew. Over and over again. He said, everybody in Jesus is a Jew, whether they're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter what their national descendant is. They are a Jew. They're a Jew. Doesn't matter. If they're in Jesus, they are a Jew. Jesus Christ is the primary Israel. That's what I believe. Now, you don't have to agree with me. That's fine. But he is the primary Israel. He stated that over and over again in his ministry. He was the victorious one that overcame sin. You know, Israel is referred to, like in Isaiah 41 and 8, as the servant. Israel is called my servant. Who is the true servant? Jesus said, I am a servant. I came not to be served, but to serve. And there's prophecy. That prophecy concerning the servant corresponds and aligns with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am that servant. Israel was referred to as the vine. Why did Jesus say, I'm the true vine? Why didn't he just say, I'm the vine? Why did he say, I am the true vine? He was identifying himself as the true Israel. And I could go on and on with this. In Hosea, we read, and also in Exodus, we read about Israel referred to as a seed of Abraham. Paul wrote in Galatians 3 and 16, he said, Jesus is that seed. And everybody that believes in Jesus, they are of the seed of Abraham. For salvation is by faith and not by works. All right, I've got to close. The Bible says we are the children of God by faith. And by faith we become the children of Abraham. All right. All eyes upon who? All eyes upon Israel. I know what God wants from you today. He wants you to be saved. When you go to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and you start reading about what John the Revelator saw there, You know, he saw the river flowing from the throne of God. He saw the tree of life, and he saw it bearing all manner of leaves for the healing of the nation. But I want you to notice what he really saw there and what we shall see there. He said, we shall see him face to face, the true Israel of God. As we stand and sing a verse of some song, I hope that you'll come. Become part of the family of God, the children of God, and the true Israel of God.